Hour number three of Midday with Trey and VK at 12:50. We cross talk it with Rod Babers ahead of the Rodcast from 1 to 3. 12:30, Shooting the Bull includes going back over that story of the NBC announcer losing his job after a comment on how Koreans feel about Japan, including audio. And here in just a couple minutes, we talk Longhorn Hoops with Trinis Jones of the Positive Coaching Alliance and co-host of the Post-Game Show, which returns tonight after Texas-Baylor.
It's been a little bit of a hiatus, but the Longhorn Post-Game coming back tonight after tonight's tilt against Baylor, 8 o'clock tip-off, and joining us right now on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline to help us preview this game and kind of recap the disappointing week it was for the Texas Longhorns is our man, Trinis Jones. Follow him on Twitter, at Trinis512. Trinis, it's been a while, man. What's going on? How you been?
I'm doing well. Good to hear from you guys. It has been a little bit, but, you know, looking forward to being back on with you tonight.
Now, before we get into previewing tonight's game and talking some Texas hoops, we've got to ask you about the event on Saturday at Hill Country Indoor. I know you were a part of that with the Positive Coaching Alliance. How'd that go on Saturday?
It was great. In fact, we were able to, one of our partnership managers, Spencer Trigg, actually is a former professional baseball player, and so he was able to add some substance to that conversation that I would not be able to, just not as a baseball player. But, you know, our goal is to make sure that we're educating these parents so they have that information when they're making decisions on where they put their kids and what they can expect and, you know, how they can support their kids in a healthy way. So, you know, we're lucky certainly to have the horn and have Aaron's leadership on that event.
Now, Trinis, baseball was the specific sport being addressed on Saturday, and that seems like the sport that is most affected by helicopter parenting. But do you see immature parents in all the different sports, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, probably even something like hockey or volleyball as well? Do you see that across the board right now with youth sports?
No question. And I think it's, you know, number one, most parents aren't like that, I would say. The squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? So, you know, when you see LeVar Ball, that's the one that folks gravitate toward, and that's the person that they stick a microphone in front of. Most parents aren't like that, but I think you see it throughout. You know, people want their kids to be successful. They want to support them, and they think that, you know, providing that stress and forcing them to practice and, you know, overdo things is the way to do it. And we think that there's a better way.
Now, Trinis, Texas basketball dropped a difficult game to lose on Saturday versus a TCU squad that was struggling going into that one, and they lost convincingly as well. When you're watching this Texas basketball team over the last week, what do you see as being the root of the problem in them not being able to win games versus TCU or Kansas State?
No, it's just effort. It's just effort. They have the talent. In fact, they may have more talent than those that they're losing to. It's just effort. Are you going to take that extra step toward that loose ball? Are you going to be the first person to jump on the ball on the ground as opposed to picking it up? You know, those plays are oftentimes avalanches when they, when you decide not to do that and your opposition decides to do that and they get the ball, they make a bucket. You get a foul because you weren't playing as hard. Those things have a way of snowballing, and they've got to play hard, man. I mean, that's the bottom line. And, you know, there's not really time for them to be learning at this point. You know, there needs to be a strong level of urgency, especially tonight, because I guarantee you Baylor will not be taking it easy on them.
No doubt. Speaking with Trinis Jones, who will be a part of the post-game show tonight after Texas-Baylor. Trinis played college basketball at Colorado, played his high school ball here at Westlake. And Trinis, okay, as a former player, right, a guy who played at this level in college, who does this fall more on? Does this fall the lack of effort? I mean, is it the coaches for not getting their guys ready to go? Is it the players? I mean, it should be desperation mode for this Texas team. They're sort of in a, we're going to have to win some of these games down the stretch if we want to achieve our goal and make the tournament. Who do you sort of put the blame on for the lack of effort for the last week?
You know, I think the blame obviously goes all around. I don't think you would find anyone to say that they're blameless. But at this level, the players know how much effort they're supposed to put forth. That's one of those things, if you ask any coach, you know, that's the one thing you can't coach at this point. It's supposed to be effort. You're supposed to know how to play hard. And I don't know if they're feeling sorry for themselves, their injury, you know, through some difficulties that they've had with the year. You know, but you've got to put forth that effort. And, you know, I think that that's, if you have to say that there's a percentage, you've got to say that that's on the players. But ultimately, you know, if you're a coach in leadership, you know, you can't, you know, not take any blame either.
It seems pretty clear that Matt Coleman has hit a freshman wall. He's really struggled more often than not. The Oklahoma game was the exception, and that was really the second half scoring-wise. He wasn't a great point guard in that game. That he has hit a freshman wall. Is there a way for a guy to overcome that with anything other than maybe dialing his minutes back just a little bit?
Yeah, I think, number one, the minute part does get you. You look at any basketball schedule. You look at the NBA wall. You know, you have those great players that they hit a wall too. They've just never played that much basketball all in one sitting. And I think that's the same thing with Matt. He's struggling with that now because he's never played as much at this highest level. So I think that taking the ball out of his hands a bit, seeing if we can get some ball movement without him having to be the one that's probing every time would help. But he's the one that can be trusted with the ball. So I think it's tough. It's six of one, half dozen of the other. You know, what do? Do you give, you know, put the ball in someone that isn't as trusted? Or do you have him continue to kind of, you know, put, you know, more effort and have to be the only one that starts the, you know, starts the offense? It's tough. It really is. But I think that finding little spells to maybe run through Dylan Osetkowski, and I think that that's one of their issues, is that, you know, Dylan has really struggled of late. And, you know, when they were having some success, you know, the offense was running through him, at least on the post, and he's been struggling. And so then that's put even more effort, put more pressure on Matt. So hopefully Dylan can kind of come out of it tonight and give Matt a bit of a blow when he needs one.
Yeah, Trentis, we were talking about this a little bit earlier, and I'm glad you brought up the point with Dylan Osetkowski. He has just been a shell of himself over the past couple of weeks. And you mentioned it right there. I mean, he sort of does not look like he wants to bang bodies down low anymore. He kind of wants to be a spot-up three-point shooter whenever he's setting ball screens instead of rolling hard to the hoop or trying to establish position on the low block. He sort of just seems more content with kind of fading out and hoping for a three. So, you know, what, how, if you're, I don't know what kind of question to ask, but do you think that's something that can turn around? Because early part of the year when D.O. was so dominant, it was because he was doing work down low. Now he just doesn't seem interested in doing that. Is he kind of a lost cause for Texas right now?
No, I just think that he has to know what, you know, go with what brought him there, right? Like, the success he was having was associated with being on the low block. And the reason why he was open for three and being wide open for the three was because he was a presence on the low block. And so that has to be his pillar, where he bases his game. That's where he has to start. And you can start shooting threes if you want to, once you've made a few layups, but it certainly can't start from the perimeter, especially on a team that doesn't have much in terms of a low block presence. And so if you are hit, you are the main one. You can't be sitting out there next to the guards. You just can't. You know, so I think that him going back to his toolbox and just getting back to the basics and being on the block and putting that weight on other people, you know, is going to help him and help the team.
As we mentioned during this conversation, Texas is back at it tonight. They face Baylor, a nationally televised game on ESPN, 8 o'clock tip-off. You can also hear that one right here on the Horn. Pregame at 7:30 with Craig Way and Eddie Oren. Following the game, BK and Trentis will be on the post-game show. That should be at about 11 o'clock or so, so stay tuned for that one. Trentis, looking at this Bears squad, they've been much better recently, 3-1 in their last four. What do you see the keys to victory for the Longhorns being tonight?
I think, number one, you've got to force them into outside shooting. I think Baylor has consistently been a team that they rely on athleticism, and they've got some great athletes. And so oftentimes with those athletes, they want to get up and down. They want to get easy buckets. They want to get putbacks. And so some of those things that has been spelling Texas, blocking out, getting back on defense, making sure that their defensive rotations are as tight as they need to be, will allow them to have success. They've just got to stay in tune. They can't lose their man. They can't be ball watching where somebody, you know, cuts back door. It has to be everybody's tuned in defensively, and that will turn into offense for them.
Trennis, what's your confidence level with this Texas team right now? I mean, hell, just a week ago, we were talking about a nice upset victory over Oklahoma, and they barely lost to Texas Tech in Lubbock. They should have had that game if they hit their free throws down the stretch. But now, just 7 days after that, they're coming off back-to-back losses against teams that were behind them in the conference standing. So going into this game against Baylor, I don't know if it's a must-win because you got a couple more opportunities to build the resume, but it sort of feels like a must-have. How are you feeling right now with this Texas basketball team?
You know, I'm with you. I mean, I'm with you. I think it's questionable. It's one of those things where they put themselves in a really good spot, and then you know through this week, they've put themselves behind the eight ball to where they need this win. I mean, you know, you start getting sports cliches and must wins and all that other stuff, but I'm not sure how how much truth to go into those things, but they've got to put more effort tonight before, you know, as they did, or they got to put forth more effort tonight than they did certainly against Kansas State and TCU. So I think that if they play hard, they've got a chance. If they don't, then, you know, we're talking to the NIT. So that's a problem, and they don't want that.
No, I don't think anybody wants that, Trennis. Hey, any storylines from across the country, across the Big 12, something catching your eye right now in the college basketball world?
Man, it's just amazing how much parity there is. I mean, it's crazy where anybody can beat anybody on any floor. I mean, you watch Virginia, who looked unbeatable. They go into Cameron Indoor Stadium and got no issues with Duke. And then all of a sudden, Virginia Tech, their rival, comes into their house, you know, while College Game Day is on campus and beats them. You know, so I think that it's going to be a crazy NCAA tournament for sure, just because – you know, anybody can beat anybody, you know, and, you know, who knows the reasoning behind that. But, you know, it's entertaining. And I'd also say from a Texas perspective, they can't rest. You know, I guarantee you there's, you know, of the 10 teams in the Big 12, 9 of them think that they're going to the tournament. And so it's like, you know, no one's going to take the night off. No one's going to give you a win, you know, and they've got to take that same level of urgency that they're receiving on the opposite end. So, you know, I hope that they take that. Certainly they've got some work to do tonight.
No doubt. Hey, is this the year 16 seed beats the one come tournament time, Trennis? Are we talking that much parity?
I hope so. That would be so nice. I mean, especially if it was Duke.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that would be nice. I would like to see that. But we'll see. I mean, it's one of those things where I think these days, because that play-in game makes those other teams play an extra game sometimes. Emotionally and physically, you're a bit drained, and then you all of a sudden have to go into playing a number one seed normally around the corner from where that number one seed is stationed. It makes it a bit tough, but, you know, this may be the year. I hope so. You know, it'll be a good story.
That would be something. All right, there he is, Trennis Jones. Hey, thanks so much for the time, man. Looking forward to the post game show tonight, getting you back on these airwaves, man. We appreciate it.
Looking forward to it, man. We'll see you tonight.
No doubt.
Thanks, Trennis.
There he goes. Trennis Jones, part of the Positive Coaching Alliance here in town.
Love Trennis.
They do some great work. And yeah, Trennis breaks down some Texas hoops, some college basketball, like very few can. A guy who played his college ball at Colorado a couple of years ago, worked in NBA front offices, too. He's got some experience around the game. So good stuff. Trey, what about you, man? I'll ask you the same question that I asked our man Trennis just now. What's your confidence level? I mean, this is a winnable game for Texas. Now, the first time they played Baylor, they lost, but Baylor used a late run to pull away from the Longhorns. It was a close game pretty much for 33, 34 minutes. Baylor dominated down the stretch, and the Longhorns went the last 6 minutes without a field goal. Obviously, that can't happen, but both of these teams, 15-10 on the year, 5-7 in Big 12 play. Longhorns, 2.5-point favorites. You just assume it's because they're playing here in Austin. What's your confidence level going into tonight's contest?
I don't feel good about this game, and it's similar things that I said before their first matchup, that size-wise, Baylor matches up with Texas pretty well, unlike most other teams, not only in the conference, but also in the country. On top of that, it looks like Manu LeCompte has really come out of a season-long funk. The senior point guard no longer required to handle so much of the ball-handling duties now that Jake Lindsey is a part of the starting lineup, and his game has improved because of that, and that included him scoring 13 points over the final 7 minutes versus Kansas and their victory over the Jayhawks on Saturday. I don't like this matchup at all. And Texas is not only going to have to get more out of, hopefully, Osatkowski, but especially either Matt Coleman or Kerwin Roach, if not both, because those are the guys responsible for facilitating the offense for the Longhorns.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I'm not feeling too good about this one. I wish I could have some confidence, but just from what we've seen from the Longhorns over the past week, and hey, it's a game of runs, right? You always talk about that with basketball. Well, it's a sport of runs as well. Texas has gone through streaks this year where they look like they could take just about any team in the country, and they go through stretches. Tennessee State, someone can come in here and beat this team on any given night, but it's hard for me to feel confident the way they've played over the past couple weeks and the way Baylor has played, too. They've won three of four. They've won three in a row, including that nice victory over Kansas where they pulled away late. Also, Scott Drew 5-1 against Shaka Smart since Coach Smart has taken over here in Austin, Texas. Feels like sort of a must-win game for the Longhorns to get back on track. If they lose tonight, man, I'm telling you, the schedule doesn't do them any favors with Oklahoma coming up this weekend in Norman. So if Texas does lose this one tonight, that bubble is getting pretty close to bursting for the Horns.
It's been mentioned today, but these two teams at 5-7 are in a four-way tie for sixth right now. Whoever loses tonight finds themselves in sole possession of ninth place in the conference.
6-9. Nice.
Not good.
6-9. TCU plays at West Virginia, so if they lose that game, they'll be right there as well. But you're right. Second to last place. That's not where you want to be.
Technically third to last.
Technically.
If TCU
you're
loses
right.
that game.
Oh, shoot. I'm not smart enough to do this type of math. But anyways, we'll see. Still a few games left for the Longhorns. 8 o'clock tonight, the game on ESPN. Nationally televised, it'll be right here on the Horn. All right, we will take a break. When we come back, some good Shooting the Bull stories, including NBC letting go of a Olympics analyst for what he had to say about South Korea and Japan. Also, a former Cy Young runner-up, former Texas Ranger, if you want the local angle, has been arrested for 20 pounds of cocaine. Yeah, he got caught with 20 pounds of coke on him. Also, the latest on Reuben Foster. And we got to talk some Johnny Football, man. Hopefully turning his life around. We'll play the over-under game with Johnny Manziel snaps in the NFL. It's all coming next. Midday with Trey and BK. This is The Horn.
This is it, what? Luchini pouring from the sky, let's get rich, what? The Gigi Vines and Sugar Dimes can't quit, what? Now pop the cork and see the Vega and get lit, what?
Back here on Midday with Trey and BK. I have no idea who this is.
I can't remember who this is.
Camp Lowe?
Who?
Camp Lowe.
Camp Lowe.
I've heard this. Pretty good.
Say Can't Blow?
Camp Lowe.
Camp Lowe?
Like a
C-A-M-P?
Summer camp. Okay.
Summer camp.
All right. Sounds pretty good. Good job, Wags. Always does a great job with the music.
Welcome back to the show, man. Word I got pneumonia. Now, has Pflugerville ruined pneumonia, and they put like an F or a PF in front of that deal? I have to start calling it like pneumonia?
Just don't do the Q-weef sound if you're going to start doing that with pneumonia.
I won't be doing that. Oh, my God. God, I'm tired of being sick. Spray tan coming up, about an hour, Facebook Live. Check it out.
I can't imagine the spray tan is going to help with your overall well-being either.
Dude, I've tried just about every medicine in the game, drugs, everything, and nothing is working. So at this point, I'm just running out of options. Like maybe the spray tan is the only thing that I haven't tried. So maybe that's what I have to do. Now, if I'm still feeling bad tomorrow after the shows, I'm going to the doctor because that's like 9 days of symptoms. I've had colds before. Everybody's had colds, but you shouldn't feel as bad on day nine as you are on day one. So I might go and just the doctor's reaction to seeing me walk in with the spray tan could be... That could be something to see. Like, what? That'll come off in a couple days. I walk in there. It's like, that'll come off in a couple days. Don't worry about it. No, Doc, I got a cold, man. I'm feeling good.
The worst. Let's go ahead and shoot the bull here because I have a story that should be in Shooting the Bull.
Shooting the Bull.
Shooting the Bull is sponsored by Tom McCann Audio Visual Consultations.
Oh, yeah. The best in the business. Locally owned and operated since 1988. Helping you get the home of your dreams with that custom audio visual automation system. You want four TVs, if you want the surround sound, the sound bars, the movie theater, whatever. No project is too big for Tom McKay and the crew at AV Consultations. Call them 255-8678 or go to their website, avconsultations.com, and get the ball rolling. Make it happen.
So the worst doctor's reaction that I've ever experienced in my life wasn't something that happened to me personally, but I had a buddy who, towards the end of our college days, this guy was a total man whore, first off. And he was also somebody who did not believe in protecting yourself or the other person.
Not good.
Ended up contracting a really really bad strain of herpes.
Ooh.
Around the mouth.
Oh.
So.
Tony Romo.
Ooh. Oh. Yeah. Normally, you're used to maybe seeing like a fever blister. Or
cold sore type thing, right?
Cold sore going on around the lip. This encapsulated his entire, both his top and bottom lip, the entire thing, to the point that the whole thing blistered over, and then the blisters on both the top and bottom lips broke open. The guy tried to keep himself out of the public eye to the degree that...
Why are you doing this to the people, man? People are like on their lunch break right now trying to eat food. You're talking about this?
Because we're shooting the bull right now. We're allowed to go off the sports track a little bit more than we normally do. So it got so bad that the blisters broke, and at that point, I was like, I was pretty good friends with him. I'm like, dude, I got to take you to the hospital, man. I know you don't want to do this. I know you don't believe in doctors, but I'm sorry. We have to go to the hospital, and we probably need to go to the emergency room because you are risking something much more serious by having these broken blisters and this exposed skin. Like, this is not good. So we end up going to Breckenridge. We go to the ER. They see what's going on. I mean, he's got something covering his mouth the entire time. Every time he's asked to lower the cloth from his mouth so that the person can see what's going on, starting with the administrative person at the front desk, the reaction was always, look up, either be frozen there for a 2 or 3 extra seconds versus what they would normally do,
right,
or the double take, where you look up really quickly and then you look back because you're so surprised
at that bad
gnarly thing that you're seeing. So we get into a room pretty quickly because they see how serious it is. So the doctor comes in, the doctor looks at it, says, I just want you guys to know this right now, that you should, whatever you're doing together needs to stop. You cannot be sexually active right now. And so at that point, I'm like, hold on, we're like, thank you for that advice, but just know, he and I are not together.
Yeah, I don't have this also. I don't have this on another area of my body, okay?
This is a heterosexual relationship, but we're a couple heteros here, all right? So at one point, they bring in, there was like a medical school class that was doing a rotation for the day. They brought a bunch of med school students into this small room to where it was like 8 med school students so that they could see an extreme example of herpes of the mouth. And again, when they brought the med school students in, they wanted to instruct the med students on what they need to be saying in that situation. And they're like, and just so you guys know, again, you should not be doing anything sexual with one another or anything else. And again, in front of the med students, I had to say, dude, we're a couple heteros here. We are not gay. There's nothing wrong with that, but we are not gay. This is just my friend who I'm trying to help out here because he's obviously dealing with some dire circumstances.
That is funny.
So it was a shocking thing to see, but to see the doctors reacting in a similar manner made me feel less bad about it.
You know how I know you're gay?
Hey, no, that's not.
Hey, Siri, add condoms to my shopping list, please.
Shall I create one?
Yes, create that shopping
create a
list.
Condom?
Put that
okay.
on there. No, not going to create that. That's gross. All right. Well, hey, you're
one of my friends who lived with him at the time. He's listening right now.
Texted.
He said, dude, it looked like he ate a firecracker. That's how bad his lips. I mean, his lips exploded. It was so disgusting.
I don't know how to follow that story
was
up.
Was it pus around? I mean,
it was pussy. It was just gnarly looking, man.
People are eating lunch, dude. I'm telling you.
Like, think of the scene from Tropic Thunder, speaking of you having to get a fake tan that may end up causing to look like Robert Downey Jr. in
what
Tropic Thunder.
What do you mean, you people?
If you think about the part at the beginning where Ben Stiller has his hands blown off, it was gnarly like that, man.
Oh, nasty.
It was so gross.
Jeez. All right, we're getting off of that subject.
Up there playing with grenades and stuff.
We're getting off of this. Hey, if you're tired of Texas basketball, and if they lose tonight, you might be more tired of Texas men's basketball. The women's team's still in the top 10. They're doing big things. Texas baseball starts on Friday.
Yeah,
by the way,
at the Dish, Louisiana Lafayette, the Raging Cajuns coming to town for a 3-game series. Now, our friends at Occupy Left Field, they got a popular Twitter account tweeting out the Texas baseball stuff. They've tweeted out a picture of the 7-day forecast here in Austin, Texas, USA America, from both KVU, which is ABC, and Fox 7, which is Fox. KVU's forecast calls for Friday night the high temperature to be 63 degrees with a low of 57, 20% chance of isolated showers.
Okay.
So 63 the high for KVU. Fox 7 here in Austin, also on Friday, has a high of 48 degrees and a low of 45. 40% chance of rain.
Wow.
There's a 15-degree difference in high temperatures in the same city. I mean, I get that the weather here is bipolar and changes all the time, but come on, the same day? What do we do here? What maybe, do we go with?
Maybe this group realized after the Saturday debacle this last weekend
that
maybe
they screwed up on Saturday. I was out of town.
Copycat one another. Yeah, it was supposed to be 70 and sunny for most of the day, according to the forecast from early last week. It was far from that on Saturday, man. It was downright cold. It got to the point where it was like never reached above mid 50s, and by the midday, the temperature was already starting to drop a little bit, and then once it got later in the afternoon, all of a sudden it got much, much colder. So maybe they're not just copycatting one another anymore, and they're actually trying to do their own thing as it pertains to predicting the weather.
I don't know who to go with here, Fox or KVU. Hopefully they change it up a little bit, right? They're on the same page by Friday.
Well, it depends. Is the person predicting the weather for Fox, is it Hooker?
Probably is Scott Fisher. You know when he tweets? He puts Scott Fisher says at the start of every single one of his tweets?
Yeah, third person.
As if, like, dude, that's implied because it's coming from your Twitter account. We get it. We get that that's what you're saying. You don't need to tell us that's what you're saying because it's your Twitter.
Puts a lot of things in caps with exclamation points, too.
What a guy. You're going to be like the only two people in this town who don't like him. That dude is loved and revered, man.
My issues with him have nothing to do with him as a weather person. They have to do with how he says hook him at Texas football
games, man.
Yeah,
it's very annoying. It's very annoying. That whole spiel and the Fox 7 weather app and my AccuWeather, I've heard it enough. All right, I've been teasing this story for a while. We got to get there. The runner-up for the Cy Young Award, the American League Cy Young Award in 2003, this guy went 21-9 that year with a 2.90 ERA, led the league with 207 strikeouts for the Chicago White Sox. He is a Mexican-American pitcher, the second all-time in wins for a Mexican-born pitcher in the history of baseball. With, let's see, how many wins did he have? 126 victories over the course of his 14-year career, spanning 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 teams, including the Texas Rangers here in the state of Texas, made just over $43.7 million. This man is named Esteban Loaiza.
Oh, I was going to guess Fernando Valenzuela.
No, a little bit younger than that.
Or Yovani Gallardo.
Fernando. Esteban Loaiza made headlines over the weekend.
Okay.
He was arrested on Friday in San Diego.
Oh, this is the dude who got busted for coke.
And is now facing felony drug charges, being held on $200,000 bail by the San Diego Sheriff's Office on three felony charges. Possession of heroin and cocaine over 20 kilograms, possession of narcotics for sale, and possession and transportation of narcotics for sale. Esteban Loaiza estimated more than $200,000 of cocaine when he was caught.
I'm going to put $7 with a hoover stank in it.
How about that? The kingpin, Esteban Loaiza, who was just in Chicago on the south side a couple of weeks ago for Sox Fest, because it's a pretty good pitcher for the White Sox for a couple of years.
Sure.
Kind of one of those fan fest activities you have before the season. Caught with more than 20 kilos of cocaine and heroin.
To borrow a line from Chappelle's Show, cocaine is a hell of a drug.
It's a hell of a drug, man. I think this guy's got a wife, it's kids.
That's not good.
He made $43 million in his career. I don't know if he needed the money.
Look, if you're going into that business as a former professional athlete, especially if you made that much money, you got to have somebody to serve as your mule,
you
right?
You need a fall guy, as Chris Carter says.
Yeah.
Although he's out of the league, so you can't have fall guys when you're retired. You're just pretty average like he was.
Cannot be the mule yourself.
Divorced.
You keep your distance from that.
Esteban Loaiza is divorced, no longer married. Maybe that was part of the reason for the breaking up of the marriage.
Good Lord, man.
How about that?
That is not good, no, Esteban.
No doubt about it.
He played for the Rangers for a little bit.
Yeah,
I remember
he did.
That time.
He was on the Rangers for a little bit. You got something before we get to Reuben Foster?
Yeah.
All right, fire away.
Let's go ahead and play this audio from Joshua Cooper-Ramo, the jackass who was brought in specifically to give his insight on Asian
jackass
nations for the NBC Olympic coverage. This was during opening night. Hear what he had to say regarding Japan and Korea.
And now representing Japan, a country which occupied Korea from 1910 to 1945, but every Korean will tell you that Japan as a cultural and technological and economic example has been so important to their own transformation.
So, South Koreans and Koreans in general took issue with that based on the basic fact that Japan has offered several apologies for its occupation of the Korean Peninsula, which saw Koreans forced to fight on the front line, to work as slaves, or in brothels. But the occupation, particularly the issue of forced sex slavery, remains a deeply sensitive issue to many Koreans.
But every Korean would tell you that they were a positive influence? That they were good for?
I don't think so. And Joshua Cooper Ramo has been fired because of that comment.
Yeah, you got to do a little more research on that one, guy. Maybe he didn't know, right? Maybe he just talked to one person who was like, oh, yeah, Japan, you know, the technology, the advancements, the Western Revolution, whatever they've been following. This has been great.
You're covering the Olympics. You'd think you'd find some historical historic related to the culture that you're going to see, right? I mean, come on.
Well, apparently his day job is with the Kissinger Group, and we know how Harry Kissinger feels about Asian nations, so maybe that played into it as well.
All right. Hey, it's national—
No disrespect.
Thank you, Bill. It's National Clean Out Your Computer Day. You guys often repeating your history or deleting your history?
I don't delete my browser history that often, but I did just get to clean out my computer because I got a new one.
What's a computer? Yeah, I got to delete this every week, man. I'm just worried
about
people
history?
Find. Oh, yeah. I'm doing it right now.
Pornhub?
There's all kinds of things that I just don't want people to find on there, you know?
All right.
So they can get me in trouble. Can't have that happen.
Anything beyond porn?
I cannot confirm nor deny. What does beyond mean?
I don't know. I would figure porn is the one thing that you're trying to keep. Like if some, God forbid, something were to happen to you and your mom and dad have to go clean out the computer, that your mom is looking at your search history, she sees porn, what else could she possibly be seeing?
You should let the texters weigh in on that one. What's on my internet history? That's worse than pornography.
337-3776.
That'd be something. All right, hey, I mentioned this a little bit earlier. He was one of my cats of the week, but Reuben Foster, linebacker for the San Francisco 49ers, played his college ball at Alabama. Yes, that Reuben Foster, if that name rings a bell, the dude was a stud in college. I remember during the combine process, he had a run-in with the medical staff at the combine. He was trying to cut in line because he thought he was more important than some of the other jabronis at the combine trying to get medical help. And he like got into it. Remember, he got kicked out of the combine a couple years ago for yelling at one of these doctors there. Now, he's had some issues with off-the-field issues as well in the past. And on Sunday night, he was arrested for charges related to domestic violence threats and possession of an assault weapon. Came Sunday morning, I beg your pardon, at a Los Gatos residence in California. He is being held on $75,000 bail. The 49ers released a statement saying they're aware. We tell you we're gathering all the information, but man, this could lead to a suspension. And a dude, Reuben Foster, is just so talented. All the talent in the world was just a fun player to watch in college. Last year, he was second on the team in tackles as a rookie. He was 72 for San Francisco. Only played 10 games. He's been arrested now twice in the offseason and could be suspended, missing some more time. So, damn shame for Reuben Foster.
Yeah, you know, since his face is all over the news today, you're wondering if this isn't a little bit of a Johnny Manziel situation where he needs to get some things addressed in his personal life.
What about Johnny? Should we, what do you think? If I asked you over under on snaps for Johnny Manziel, I'll just put it at 0.5. It does Johnny Manziel
a single snap.
Take one more snap as an NFL quarterback. No XFL, no CFL, no USFL, whatever the hell they're doing overseas. Johnny Manziel, any team going to give him a chance?
Regular season snaps, I'm not sure. I bet he ends up making it into a training camp at some point.
Okay. Preseason snaps, perhaps?
I would take the over on the 0.5.
Okay. I'm taking the under.
Okay.
I'm taking the under. Look, it's good that hopefully he's true to his word. He had that interview on Good Morning America, the first really public interview he's had in more than 2 years. He says he's been sober for a while and really opened up about his stories with alcoholism and depression that he had to battle. I'm sure that's all over Twitter. We can send that one out. Hopefully he's turning his life back around, regardless of what it means for the football field. And hell, I'm a Longhorn, right? Longhorns aren't supposed to like Aggies. I would love to see Johnny Football back on a football field. That dude is awesome. He was so fun to watch in college, man. Yeah, he won a Heisman, of course, but that dude just made magic with a football in his hands. I was always kind of hopeful that he'd do something in the pros. Once he got drafted to Cleveland, I think we all kind of knew where his career was going. I didn't think it'd spiral out of control this much, but I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful Johnny Manziel does return to the football field, but at least he's looks like he's got his life back on track a little bit.
Yeah, that's priority number one, obviously.
Yes.
Priority number two is to convince Johnny to stop referring to himself in the third person.
I had a sense of entitlement about what I had accomplished at the age that I had accomplished it, and I got so ingrained only caring about what Johnny wanted. Even when I thought I was doing what I wanted, I was miserable.
Oh, no.
He's and the
like
other
your
thing,
boy.
Too,
oh, no.
With and this, we've seen this with a couple different people now. He's pushing a line of comeback products. Can we just focus on the comeback and
the
not
comeback
try to
season.
Sell gear in the process?
Yeah, you know, part of me is just like, I want to believe everything Johnny's saying, that he has everything kind of turned around and he's off the drugs and he looks much healthier and much better. Mm-hmm. But he's also said this in the past, that he's like, he's clean and he's making a comeback. And next 2 weeks later, you'll see him partying on 6th Street somewhere.
That's true.
But yeah, the comeback season, they have a hat lost in the sauce. I kind of want it. $30 though for a hat. I can't do that.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, look, that part of this whole story makes the whole thing seem disingenuous.
Yeah, I don't know. You can make money. People will still buy it.
You're right.
People will still buy
it's
it.
It's the big baller brand way, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt about
hey,
it.
Hey, I saw they're about to be selling water. Are you going to be drinking some BBB water?
Selling water?
Yeah,
I didn't see
European
that.
Water.
Nice.
Yeah,
from the artesian springs,
something like that.
Amazing.
Don't act like I can't be educated too.
Maybe $600 for a bottle.
Probably in typical Triple B fashion, it will end up being something other than water that you're drinking.
Yeah, right. You have to wait 6 months to get it also.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. All right, there's Shooting the Bull brought to you by AV Consultations. When we come back, we'll cross-talk it with our man Rod Babers and send you off to the rest of the programming on The Horn. You're listening Midday with Trey and PK on The Horn, 104.9 AM 1260. Streaming online, The Horn app, 24-7, where English. Just listen to the damn horn. Yeah, we're breaking.
Final segment of the midday show. We are probably about 30 to 45 minutes away from Brad Kellner stepping into Amanda Williams, our great AE's shower, because she does own a spray tan contraption.
Yeah, make sure you word that a little better. It's like I'm going to one of our salespeople's house to take a shower.
Yeah, there you go.
Here from the laugh, we have Rod Babers in studio.
I know why he's going over
cross
there,
talk.
I know why he's going. And I've seen the, whatever, the, was it paint? I don't know what it is.
Oh, you've seen it?
Sure.
I've seen it. I've seen how dark it is.
Oh,
and trust me, folks, it is
going to
be, yeah. I mean, it's basically, it's borderline blackface.
Oh,
it's gonna be borderline blackface, bro. I'm serious. My girl looked at it because my girl gets spray tanned by Amanda all the time when she used to do some of that. They have like spray tan parties or whatever.
Spray tan parties.
Yeah, women do that.
Sounds like a great time.
It does sound like a great time, right? It's like I want to go to that. But yeah, so she'll put you in the shower. Are you wearing a thong? What are you gonna wear? Why are they spray tan you? Because you got to have everything spray tan. Are you going to wear tidy whities?
I'm going to roll up the shorts, I guess, man. I don't know.
The shorts are ruined, right?
Because the women usually wear draws. You know what I mean? They just didn't have draws. And butt naked.
Strip down
draws.
To your skivvies?
Just go with the boxers? I don't know, man.
It's
I don't want to make Amanda look at that.
Yeah, don't do that. It's going to be tough. I hope you've done your grocery shopping.
Right.
You're going to offend some people.
You're saying don't go out in public. I'm going to be ordering favor all week.
Dude, it's going
to
be bad.
So much for the doctor tomorrow.
Into Facebook Live here in about 30 to 45 minutes.
Golly. Rodcast coming up 1 to 3. What you got, Rod? What's coming up, man? Real quick.
Yeah, man, we'll get into the Rockets who made some moves over the weekend, and also we'll talk some Texas basketball.
There you go. Stay tuned. Chad and Kevin, 3 to 7. Thanks to Trentis Jones for joining the show. Thanks to Wags, the fantasy sports guru, the Marine across the glass, to the Sultan of Cynicism, the Vomit King, the male Amy Schumer, Trey Elling across the table, IMBK. We'll be back to get a pop at the same time tomorrow. Until then, let bygones be bygones. You can go and get the hell on. You and your mama. We out of here.